I wish I was an actor. Because if I was an actor, I'd be acting about dying. The reality is that I'm not an actor. I am dying. I'm dying from cancer as a result of smoking. I wish I'd stopped smoking sooner. I really do. I think my life would have been totally different. I certainly wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today.
That was father of three, Jerry Collins, in an anti-smoking ad in the South. Since recording that, he's died of his illness. Now, experts are calling for a change in the law. Should anyone, wait for this, interesting debate this, should anyone born after the year 2000 be banned from ever buying cigarettes? Leading doctors have called for the ban in a programme of progressive prohibition aimed at curbing smoking-related deaths. The commentator Lata Sharma is with us today. Morning, Lata.
Good morning.
And Dave Atherton from Freedom to Choose. Morning, Dave.
Morning.
Good morning. So the idea here, Lata, would be that, I guess, if you're 14 or over now, you would be banned from buying cigarettes. 14 or under, sorry. What do you think?
Well, I don't honestly know what the law is regarding what age you're allowed to start buying cigarettes. Being a non-smoker myself, I don't really take a much interest in it.
18.
But in principle, I do agree with this. I mean, I do understand it has to be debated, but I do agree in principle with what the doctors are saying.
Dave?
Well, indeed. Well, I think cocaine and heroin are banned in this country, but they still seem to be all too freely available. I find it very interesting that... They actually call it progressive prohibition. Now, they tried prohibition in America in 1933, and it was a complete disaster.
Well, we can't, you know, what happened back in 1933 or whenever it was isn't really what we're discussing about today. We know much more about what cigarettes can do to a person. You know, the last generation, the older generation who did smoke and started smoking in their teens didn't have the information that we have today. And because we have that information today, really, we don't have an excuse to smoke.
Yeah, but the point is, 97% of smokers can name you one fatal disease associated with smoking. Now, what the other 3% have been doing, I've got no idea. But the point is, the vast majority of smokers and adult smokers like myself are making an informed adult choice and a risk assessment.
That's where you're spot on about being an adult. This isn't about being an adult. This is about being a child. And I mean, one of the facts that I was quite shocked at was a 15-year-old was 3 times more likely to die from smoking-related illnesses than someone who started in their 20s. I mean, I didn't even realise that would make such a difference.
Let's focus though on what this proposed policy would actually result in, though. So what this policy is saying is that if you were born after the year 2000, you'd be banned from ever, and that's the key word, from ever buying cigarettes. So in other words, when you got the 18 or 19, you still wouldn't be allowed to buy them. In other words, progressive prohibition, that smoking would die out with this generation.
How are you going to enforce that? You know, are we going to
it would be illegal.
So if you see, for example, a 19-year-old smoking in the street, are we going to have a phalanx of police people stopping 19-year-olds in the street saying, no, you've got to be 20 years of age to smoke, we've got to be 21 years of age to smoke? No, it is totally unenforceable.
You do actually have a good point. That is going to be difficult to enforce, but surely we have to stop just saying it's difficult to enforce. You know, how are we going to do this? We've got to start being more proactive in how we can help our children to not start doing something which we know now through scientific evidence is really, really bad for them and is going to not just give, you know, they're not just going to die, they're going to die very painfully in many cases, and we really have to protect our children. Surely to goodness you would agree with that.
Surely education is a far better way of dealing with it than bullying and resorting to the hand of laws and the state. For example, in America, there are states and there's countries like Uruguay have actually legalized marijuana because they finally realized that all the years they spent trying to fight the trade, it's been a complete waste of time. In Mexico, for example, 200,000 people have been murdered since 2006 in the cocaine and heroin trade over there. Prohibition, like it did in America, just doesn't work. And the net result will be, it's like you have with Class A drugs, but the quality of the drug has no standard whatsoever. and the quality of smoking and the quality of tobacco will go down as well, and you have a far worse health situation.
See, these drugs you're talking about, where the quality of them are under in suspect, can I just remind you, Dave, that whether they're good quality or bad quality, they can still kill. They're still highly addictive, and they still ruin lives.
Well, indeed. I'm not denying that. The whole point I'm making is a lot of tobacco that's illegally imported in from China and the Far East is really is a particularly low quality, which contains things like arsenic and rat poison in it, sweepings of the floor. And the tobacco that you buy on the black market and is imported from the Far East is far worse quality than you buy in the shops.
But are we going to continue to just succumb to the fact that we're getting a tsunami of all these things, which, you know, we don't want to have the choice taken away from us, and the excuses we should have a right to do this and blah blah blah. Surely to goodness, we have to stand up to what is fundamentally a bad thing. Is that not in principle what we should be doing as a society, regardless of what you may say about what's going on in Mexico or what's going on in Uruguay? And I know it's horrendous what is going on there, but that doesn't mean that is in our society where we live and how we are living and what we know, that we are able to do that. I mean, the poverty in some of those countries is horrendous.
Okay. Have a listen.
They are dominated by these criminal gangs who are doing this.
Let's listen to Stanley's story this morning. It's important. Morning, Stanley.
Hey, go ahead.
Morning. Tell us why you've called us, Stanley.
Well, it was my daddy had a car accident and basically thought he was getting better, and turned out that he had speckles on his lungs. And only last maybe 7-8 months later, and he just couldn't breathe. Just watching your daddy not breathing, it was absolutely horrendous. So people should not give him cigarettes in the head big time, and that's it.
And your dad was a smoker. It was a smoking-related cancer, wasn't it?
All his life, but at the end of the day, that's the only way he found out. He speckled on his lungs after having a car accident, and I just thought it was absolutely terrible to see him struggling for breath, and I think people are sleeping
in there. And when you hear that type of story, Dave, and you hear the ad that we played at the start of the programme this morning, does it not give you pause for thought?
I know exactly the risk of lung cancer with smoking. Your lifetime chances are about 8%. That is a risk I'm prepared to take, because I actually quite enjoy smoking, and if I didn't smoke, I could well do something more extreme. For my enjoyment purposes.
It's all about you.
Well, it is about the individual, lad, isn't it?
Yes, but this is about the children. We're not talking about the adults who are already addicted to it. We're talking about the next generation of children who are coming up the ranks to be tempted into this. I mean, I'm pretty sure that most parents who do smoke do not want their children to copy them. But as the old saying goes, Dave, monkey see, monkey do. And that's just life. So maybe it is time to protect our next generation.
Okay. Dave, go ahead.
Well, indeed. Well, let me just correct you on one thing. You have to be 18 years of age to buy cigarettes in this country. An adult is allowed to give a 16 or 17-year-old cigarette to smoke. But to buy cigarettes these days, you have to be 18 years of age. So if you're going to buy and smoke cigarettes regularly in this country, you are an adult.
Look, as I said, this is about the next generation, and a 15-year-old was 3 times more likely to die due from smoking-related illness than someone who started in their 20s. So maybe, Dave, you'd be happier if we said, right, well, you can't start smoking until you're in your 20s.
Well,
would that help? Could we come to some agreement?
Well, 15-year-olds are breaking the law.
Yes, of course they are, but you just told me that you can buy a cigarette for a 16 or a 17-year-old, did you not?
You can't buy a packet of cigarettes for a 16-year-old.
No, but you can give them one.
You can give them individual
and you can
cigarettes.
Get them hooked.
And that is not cigarette companies that are doing it.
But somebody can do it. They're not drugs companies or heroin companies out there who get people hooked. They're actually individuals who induce them into starting a bad habit.
And I'm talking about 15 and 16-year-olds and what have you. That surely is a matter for the parents to deal with.
And sometimes, as I say, when parents do smoke, it's very difficult for the child not to actually follow their parents. Not that all children do, we know that, but it's a monkey see, monkey do kind of general scenario. And really, should we not be protecting the next generation from going down this line?
Well,
if we can. According to what the doctors say, it's horrific.
I put a high value on individual freedom.
So do I.
Individual responsibility.
Yes.
You know, I'm sort of very much on the John Stuart Mill camp here, in the sense that what I do with my body is my own business and nobody else's, provided I'm not harming anybody else. And that's a philosophy I will stay with.
Well, and there's where the debate lies, because in harming yourself, are you putting an extra strain on the NHS and all of that type of stuff? Listen, Lada and Dave, Stephen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're actually net contributors to the National Health Service. We are the cost.
Yeah, you raise billions a year through taxes from buying the cigarettes in the first place.
And what's dreadful, Stephen, is that the cigarettes that we ban smoking here and we've done this, these companies have now gone to the Far East and gone to these poor nations to get these people hooked on cigarettes. And you know what? They don't have a National Health Service, so they really are going to die a horrible death. God help them.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Lara, thank you.